All right, Alexander, let's talk about the Supreme Court decision. And I don't think it's a very surprising decision, to be honest,
No.
challenging Pennsylvania on for November 3rd, for what happened on November 3rd. Actually, I'll be honest, I'm not surprised about it at all. Kavanaugh, Comey Barrett. I am surprised in a good way with Clarence Thomas and what he wrote, and you can get into that. I think it shows the type of character that Clarence Thomas is, and I think we also now understand exactly what we're dealing with Kavanaugh. Amy Coney Barrett, I guess the verdict is still out, but Kavanaugh was always a company man, and I was pulling for him during what he was going through, because that was an interesting during the events with Blasey Ford. I was hoping that that whole thing would settle, and he would eventually get into Supreme Court. But I always had a sense that he was a company man, kind of the same tune as A.G. Barr. Amy Coney Barrett, I guess we're still figuring it out, but it looks like she's kind of a company woman, I guess to say. I mean, she seems like she's part of the group. Maybe you can comment on that. But wow, Clarence Thomas, what can you say? It was, what he delivered was just a lot of truth bombs, Alexander.
Well, can I just say what Clarence Thomas delivered was one of the most scorching, scathing, dissenting opinions I've ever read. I mean, it is an absolutely relentless demolition of the pusillanimous conduct of the Supreme Court throughout all the election litigation. I think before we proceed and discuss it further, I think it's important to say that Clarence Thomas does not, in any part of this judgment, actually challenge the outcome of the election. He's very careful to say that he's not doing that, and nor do the other two justices, Alito and Gorsuch, who agree with him. And Alito and Gorsuch, by the way, delivered a joint dissenting opinion which supports Thomas's, but which doesn't perhaps use quite his fiery language. Now, Clarence Thomas obviously has a certain reputation as a rather no-nonsense, fiery individual. But I think anybody reading this and who is aware of what's been going on would have, and who has any degree of impartiality or objectivity about this process, would agree that he is making an absolutely correct point. Now, what has happened is this. Over the course of 2020, various state legislatures, notably Pennsylvania, were invited by various Democratic Party activists to make changes to the electoral law of their states, basically to allow mail-in ballots on this enormous scale, which has never happened before in any election. And this was obviously something, by the way, it's important to remember, it was something that was supported and pushed by the Democrats. It was never agreed by the Republicans. In fact, the Republicans generally, though weakly, opposed it. And Donald Trump, of course, opposed it. So it was insisted on by one side, opposed by the other, justified on the grounds of the pandemic. Some states, the legislatures, the houses of representatives of some states agreed to these Democratic Party proposals to change the electoral laws. Pennsylvania's didn't. And what happened in Pennsylvania is that the Democrats, unhappy because the House of Representatives of Pennsylvania, which is Republican, has a Republican majority, refused to carry out these changes to the electoral laws to allow mail-in ballots on the scale that had existed before, went instead to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, which is a liberal Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania made various changes to the electoral law, which the House of Representatives had refused to make. Specifically, it extended the deadline beyond which, up to which mail-in ballots could be received. And it also made changes as to what could be set out on the ballots itself and what the envelopes which the ballots were received in would say. So it loosened the whole structure of surrounding mail-in ballots, going well beyond what the House of Representatives of Pennsylvania had agreed to. Now, the Constitution of the United States says very clearly that electoral laws are the exclusive province of the Houses of Representatives of the states. It is for the Houses of Representatives of the states and them alone to decide what the electoral laws in their states should be. It is absolutely not for officials, especially not officials who have not been elected, to make changes. And it is obviously not for the courts or the Supreme Courts of the states to make changes to the electoral laws, which the Houses of Representatives have not agreed to. Now, that's the argument, because what happened was that the Republicans, this was before the election, were very unhappy about the changes that had been made by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania to the electoral laws of Pennsylvania. And they applied to the Supreme Court of the United States to have these changes overturned. And there was apparently, and this is what Clarence Thomas basically says, there's apparently a general acknowledgement within the Supreme Court that these changes that were made to the elections laws of the states of Pennsylvania, by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, that these are unconstitutional, being contrary to the Constitution of the United States. However, and in the event, the Supreme Court of the United States refused to make a decision on the case before the election took place. The argument was that the election was coming on too fast, there wasn't enough time, and in the circumstances, they weren't prepared to intervene. And so nothing happened. Then we have a situation now when the election is out of the way. This suit has come again before the Supreme Court of the United States. And this time, the Supreme Court of the United States is refusing to consider it. The majority of the Supreme Court of the United States is refusing to consider it because they say, well, since this wasn't decided before the election, and since the election has already taken place, it is now moot. It is now pointless looking at this anymore, because whatever damage has been done was done, and there really isn't any point in going over this all over again. And Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch and Alito say this is absolutely appalling. Clarence Thomas says baffling, because this is obviously an extremely important issue, even though there's no evidence that the election itself, the outcome of the election itself, was affected. The fact was that the Supreme Court of the United States abdicated its responsibilities before the election by allowing these changes to take place. It might have had reasons to do so because it said the election was coming on too fast and there wasn't time, but that was still an abdication of responsibility. And its failure and its refusal to address this issue now is appalling and an abdication as well, and one which guarantees that more problems will arise of this nature in the future. And Thomas also makes a point which I repeatedly made over the course of the election litigation, which took place after the November 3rd election, which is that there was insufficient time between the holding of the election and the certification of the results for any proper scrutiny and preparation of the case to be made. And in fact, Thomas goes to great length to point this out and to say that arguing that the time to make these challenges is between the election and the certification of the results is to absolutely make all but guarantee that any actual litigation brought during that very restricted period will fail, because there will not be the sufficient time to assemble the evidence or to go through the normal litigation process. So Clarence Thomas is clearly hopping mad. He is furious. He makes it absolutely clear that he thinks that the majority of the Supreme Court, led by Roberts, has abdicated its responsibility to deal with this issue. He says this is going to create more problems in the future. And Gorsuch and Alito agree with him. He is right. He's exactly right. I have no doubt at all that this is an issue that should have been resolved before the election. Many people said so. Andrew McCarthy on National Review said so. If it wasn't resolved before the election, there is an obligation on the Supreme Court to resolve it now, so that it is resolved once and for all and clear guidelines about what happens in future are given. The fact that the Supreme Court has not done it is, to quote Clarence Thomas again, baffling. And the fact that Kavanaugh and Amy Comey Barrett have not joined with Clarence Thomas, Alito and Gorsuch, to my mind, shows that the idea that the Supreme Court now has a conservative majority is a myth. So all those people who were hoping and expecting that the presence of Amy Comey Barrett and Kavanaugh is going to change the balance on the Supreme Court, it looks to me, are going to be disappointed.
Nope, exactly. Exactly. The Supreme Court is not a conservative body at this point in time. That's obvious. That's crystal clear. I'm not saying that Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh are liberals or neoliberals or Democrats or anything like that, but they're definitely part of the establishment. I guess that's the best way. Or they definitely lean establishment. Now, what you want to say about the establishment? I don't think you could say it leans left or right. The establishment leans towards the establishment. That's their loyalty. And obviously, Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett are playing ball with the establishment. So the whole conservative thing is a complete myth. Even Gorsuch, I don't even think Gorsuch is. I mean, okay, he said he sided well with this case, but Gorsuch also tends to fluctuate. I think you have Alito and Thomas, and those are your real conservatives on the court. That's it.
I agree. I completely agree, because that, it seems to me, is clear. I have to say that, I mean, they're not conservatives in the way that Clarence Thomas, I mean, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and certainly Amy Comey Barrett are not conservatives in the way that Clarence Thomas and Alito are. But there's a further point here, which is that, you know, they are abdicating, they're showing an extraordinary lack of courage. If they think that what the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania did was right, then they should say so. I mean, you know, going back in time to, you know, the famous Warren Court of the 1960s, the great liberal court, or maybe people will not like me when I say the great liberal court, the liberal court, the liberal Supreme Court of the 1960s, which carried out so many social changes and reforms. Well, criticise that court as much as you want. Many of those criticisms I accept, many of those criticisms I agree with, but at least those justices had the courage of their convictions. They were able to, they were prepared to come out and say what they thought and what they believed. These people, you know, the Kavanaugh, Comey Barrett, or the others are hiding on this absolutely fundamental issue, which, by the way, Clarence Thomas points out that elections in a democracy are a fundamental issue. How they're conducted is of key and extreme importance to how the United States works. On this issue, they're hiding. They're not prepared to come out and say what they all think the law is. And that is terrible. What is the point of a Supreme Court if it's not prepared to make decisions on important issues like this? I mean, it's for me, an extraordinary situation, one I would never have expected even a few months ago.
Well, that's the point of this Supreme Court. I'm going to read you what Justice said, actually, what Justice Thomas said real quick. But that's the point of this Supreme Court. This was not a Supreme Court picked by Trump.
No.
This was a Supreme Court picked by McConnell.
Yes.
That, I think, is what I get out of all of this. McConnell influenced, consulted, with Trump, and McConnell got the picks that he wanted, even though Trump went along with it and you know, Trump took the credit for it for political reasons. You know, he didn't understand how DC works, and these were McConnell's picks, and these judges are doing exactly what McConnell put them in position to do, and that is to go with the establishment. So none of this is a mistake on their part, in my opinion. I think they're doing exactly as McConnell expected them to do. Here's what Justice Thomas said, and we'll wrap up the video. I'll read you a couple of quotes real quick. He says, "One wonders what this court waits for. We failed to settle this dispute for the election and thus provide clear rules. Now we again fail to provide clear rules for future elections. The decision to leave election law hidden beneath a shroud of doubt is baffling. By doing nothing, we invite further confusion and erosion of voter confidence. Our fellow citizens deserve better and expect more of us. I respectfully dissent." Thomas also said, this is not a prescription for confidence. Changing the rules in the middle of the game is bad enough. And one final quote, he said, "That decision to rewrite the rules seems to have affected too few ballots to change the outcome of any federal election. But that may not be the case in the future." So those are some quotes from Thomas's dissent.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's one of the most powerful dissents I've ever seen. And as I said, in legal terms, it holds no punches. I mean, it's quite remarkable. As I say, it's searing. And it suggests to me, by the way, that there's been an awful lot of controversy and within the Supreme Court itself, and that there's clearly tensions which have festered throughout the election litigation and before, and of course now with this dissenting opinion, they burst out into the open. Because I mean, I agree with him. I think he's absolutely right. I mean, I am stunned that the Supreme Court of the United States, a court which I have always up to now honoured and respected as the most powerful and important court in the world, not just in the United States. I mean, people around the world look to the Supreme Court and say, well, you know, this is one of the great achievements of the US. It has this tremendous institution, this tremendous legal institution. It's the most advanced country in terms of its constitutional law. Well, we all look around this now and we say to ourselves, what's this? What kind of a Supreme Court is this that can't make up its mind, won't come along and tell us what it thinks on a question of so much importance, because quite obviously it's nervous of stirring up controversy. And as you absolutely rightly say, it's a Mitch McConnell Supreme Court, not a Donald Trump one.
Yeah, but it's the doubt. I mean, just to one last point, they want the doubt there. They don't want to clear this up. They don't want to clear this up for future elections. That's how I see it. They don't want to provide clarity because they want the next election cycle and the one after that and the one after that to be shrouded in uncertainty. It benefits the establishment. That's how I see it. If you have clear rules, it's very much like big tech. If you provide clear rules.
I totally accept that.
Yeah. If you provide clear rules then you know, if I say this word, I get booted off. If I don't say this word, I'm fine, and that's cool. I know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, you're shrouded in doubt, then they can pull all kinds of shenanigans on you. That's the thing. I mean, it's same tricks, same tricks.
I completely agree with that. I understand that. I agree with that. I think that's entirely right. But I can understand why the political class, the Democrats, some Republicans, might want there to be doubt because they can use it to their own purposes. But the Supreme Court of the United States should be calling time on that sort of thing. That's its job. It should be setting out clearly what the rules are. That is why they are there. That is why these Supreme Court justices are appointed to their positions for life, so that they can come along and call the political class to account and uphold the law. If the Supreme Court starts behaving like an adjunct of the political class, you know, I'm not making a partisan point here. If it does this for Republicans, it's as bad as if it does it for Democrats or, you know, for whomever. But if it starts behaving like that, then it will lose authority and lose respect and will cease to be, in any meaningful sense, a Supreme Court. That is, however, the situation which we are now apparently drifting to in the United States. This is a tragic decision, and Clarence Thomas is right to be furious, and is right in all the things he says.
Yeah, it's the decaying of every institution. Every
Absolutely.
Institution is being hollowed out.
That's how I see it
at this point.
I agree. I completely agree. I mean, you know, people talk about terrible decisions the Supreme Court has made in the past. I mean, Dred Scott and all those things. And, you know, some of those decisions were terrible. But at least they were decisions. I mean, this is an astonishing, as I said, failure to make a decision. I mean, I was once, I used to say, you know, once upon a time in one of my previous careers that, you know, if I was going to get into trouble, I preferred it to be because of something I'd done than because of something I hadn't done. Well, that's what they've got themselves into. They're going to get into trouble, which they will. Because, as you rightly say, a court that can't make a decision is a court that is in a state of decay. They are going to get into trouble because of what they are not doing. If they come out and made a strong decision, obviously it would have been controversial. Some people would have been unhappy. But that's the role of the Supreme Court. That's what it's for. That's what it does. If it doesn't do that, if it ceases to perform its basic and fundamental function on an issue like this, then it's not fit for purpose. And we have to say, here's another institution of the United States that isn't working anymore.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. In today's America, Alexander, you don't make decisions.
No.
Decisions aren't made.
No.
That's just the sad situation of things.
No. We have a weak president, a weak secretary of state, a weak administration, a weak Supreme Court, and a Congress which is, well, I'm not going to say what I think about the Congress, because if I did, we would be running into all sorts of issues. So there we are. I'm bitterly disappointed, actually.
All the weakness is deliberate,
yeah.
in one way or another, and it makes it... ripe for the picking for some authoritarian situation to take hold. That's how I see it.
Absolutely.
You know, when you have such weak institutions, you know, power will find a way to come into play. Like real strong power will find a way.
Absolutely, that is entirely right, because you know it is the courts, which, remember, in the United States are, you know, one of the three parts of the Constitution: the judiciary, the executive, and the legislative. But, you know, the judiciary is one of the key parts of the Constitution. If that's not working, if it's not able to hold the other two parts in check, Well, the whole checks and balances, the whole system of checks and balances around which the political system of the United States is built will start to break down. But that is the situation we are in now. I have to say that I am extremely disappointed by this outcome. Not surprised, I'm no more surprised than you were, but I am very disappointed. And the one ray of light in it is that there are still justices in the Supreme Court, like Clarence Thomas, like Alito, perhaps to some extent like Gorsuch, who do understand what their responsibilities are still fighting this battle. But obviously the ground is shifting against them.
Yeah, all right, we'll leave it there. Well, Clarence Thomas is a man of a different time.
So, well, absolutely. Well, absolutely, you know, I agree.
A man of great integrity.
Yes, yes. I agree.
All right.
I completely agree.
All right. We'll leave it there, guys. Durad, shop and pick up some great merch.
Absolutely. And look up our other channels and look us up on our other platforms, BitChute, Library Odyssey, Rumble, and the rest.
All right. Take care, everybody.